It was an intense, dizzying weekend of news, and today could be a very pivotal day for the NFL. Let's start your morning buzzcast with that news. Today is Monday. It's October 5th. Good morning. I'm Abe Madcore. I do hope everybody had a good weekend. There was so much going on this weekend. The news cycle never stopped. We're going to focus on the NFL this morning in Foxborough, as Peter King does so well in laying out in his Football Morning in America column. A number of officials of the Patriots, approximately 130 people in the organization and the travel party scheduled to go to Kansas City today, will be tested for COVID-19. The results will be expected back within 30 minutes. Now, if those testing trends continue, what happened over the weekend, where nobody else in the New England Patriots traveling party tested positive for COVID-19 after Cam Newton's positive test on Friday night, the Patriots will be allowed to take two planes to Kansas City. Now, if people do test positive, really all bets are off. I can't imagine they would go forward with tonight's game. If they do go forward with tonight's game, again, that's a 7:05 start. They moved it from 4:35 yesterday to 7:05. It remains on CBS. CBS must have worked quickly to get national clearance for the 7:05 Eastern Time window for that game. ESPN, meanwhile, pushes back the Falcons-Green Bay Packers game to 8:50. There will be overlap of the two games, but again, first key step is whether or not there are any positive tests out of the Patriots traveling party this morning. So keep your eye on that. Second story to keep an eye on, according to CBS Sports' Jason LaConfora, is that the NFL league office today will hold a mandatory conference call for all owners, coaches, and GMs that will detail specific penalties for repeated offenders of COVID protocols, and they are apparently going to send notice of possible fines, suspensions, even the loss of draft picks for repeated violations. LaConfora reports that the league office is incredibly frustrated by some teams' failure to follow protocol. So that call is scheduled for today. We talked about a number of teams allowing fans in their NFL buildings for the first time. A quick hit of what we saw so far, the Carolina Panthers, they did not sell out. They were going to allow 5,240 into the facility. They had about 5,120. We had yesterday in weekend wrap that tickets were for that game were still available as of Friday afternoon. The Texans also didn't sell out. They were expecting 13,300 for their game against the Vikings. They ended up having about 12,100. So a little softness in both attendance. We've seen that trend throughout the league. Meanwhile, in Tampa, the Bucs had about 6,300 people in Raymond James Stadium. That was the first time fans could watch Tom Brady in person in Tampa. So what's my takeaway over the weekend? You're going to see a lot of stories over the next couple of days. Specifically, we saw it starting yesterday about whether the NFL will shift to some sort of bubble environment sooner rather than later. Could they also shift to a bubble environment specifically for the playoffs? That was the narrative from a number of columnists over the weekend. I think you're going to continue to see that over the next few days, specifically as it relates to how the Patriots traveling party tests today. Let's shift to the NBA. Commissioner Adam Silver was on ABC last night during Game 3 of the NBA Finals. He said the league could consider a work stoppage in the summer of 2021 so that NBA players could compete in the Tokyo Games, but he says it's unlikely at the end of the day that if we start late, we would stop for the Olympics. So that's a little bit of news. Silver saying for the first time that if they start the season late and it goes into July, it's unlikely the league would stop and allow players to go to Tokyo. He said it's not just a function of stopping for that period. He said there's also a training camp and a rest period afterwards, which may make it very difficult to send NBA players to Tokyo. He did express confidence, though, that the U.S. would be able to field a competitive team in Tokyo if NBA players are unable to go to Tokyo. We don't talk about the NHRA a ton on the Morning Buzzcast, but they made some news yesterday. Yesterday, they announced that Camping World has become title sponsor of that series. It will now become the NHRA Camping World Drag Racing Series. Why is this interesting? Well, it comes just 2 weeks after a lawsuit was made public between the NHRA and its previous title sponsor, Coca-Cola. Now, if you remember that, the NHRA filed a lawsuit against Coca-Cola, alleging that the company broke a sponsorship agreement with the NHRA that was scheduled to run through 2023. They also cited a lack of a sponsorship payment. That led to Camping World CEO Marcus Lemonis, who of course is very, very high profile and very active on Twitter. He sent a tweet to the NHRA saying Camping World was interested. Let's sit down and talk sponsorship. We aren't afraid of a commitment. He cited Camping World's sponsorship of NASCAR and suggested that they'd be a good fit for the NHRA. And sure enough, shortly after that tweet, the NHRA and Camping World announce a pretty extensive sponsorship. So a pretty fun story in the world of sponsorship there. Let's shift to the Pac-12 because the most interesting element as they unveiled its football season schedule for the fall was that they are going forward with a morning start of 9 a.m. Pacific time. Yes, on November 7th at 9 a.m., their football season will kick off with Arizona State at USC. We've talked about how the conference has been considering the morning start to boost nationwide exposure on TV. This game will be part of Fox's Big Noon Kickoff game, which is, of course, noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. Pacific time. And a source told the San Jose Mercury News that additional 9 a.m. Pacific time starts have not been ruled out. So what the Pac-12 did there is take a chance and start 9 a.m. Pacific time to try to get a little bit more national exposure in that noon window on the East Coast. Baseball today, the playoffs continue. The American League Divisional Series begins today. Astros A's at 4 o'clock, Yankees Rays at 8 o'clock. Both of those game one of a best of five series. Both should be very good series. An interesting story by Chicago Cubs insider David Kaplan over the weekend speculated on the future of Chicago Cubs president Theo Epstein. He said he does not see Theo Epstein returning to run the Cubs baseball operations when his contract expires next year. So his contract runs through the end of 2021. He reports that Epstein will sit down with Cubs owner Tom Ricketts, and they have a great relationship, but they're going to sit down this week, and they could discuss even an early out, that Theo Epstein could be out before the end of his contract at the end of 2021. And he suggests that Ricketts and Epstein could discuss planning a transition that is in the team's best interest. Certainly Jed Hoyer could be the next person up to run that organization. He's been with Theo for a long time, and there's a lot of speculation about where Theo could end up. Certainly he will have his pick, because anybody who brings a championship to both the Boston Red Sox and the Chicago Cubs would seemingly have his choice of where to go next. So another thing to keep your eye on, the future of Cubs president Theo Epstein. And finally, a very piece of sad news out of the racing world. If you read our weekend wrap yesterday, you would have saw that so many people in the racing world, specifically at Joe Gibbs Racing, are mourning the loss of Joe J.J. D'Amato, who died suddenly on Saturday at the young age of 48. I knew J.J. for years. He was so well regarded. He was so well liked. He served most recently as vice president of marketing services at Joe Gibbs Racing. Incredibly talented. Previously, he was at the NHL and in the NASCAR League office. I learned so much about marketing and licensing from JJ. His spirit was infectious. He had so much energy. He had so much enthusiasm. And it was just crushing when I heard Saturday afternoon that he died suddenly while playing some sports. He is survived by his fiance and two daughters. I know I'm thinking of JJ in only the best of ways. I know everybody within the NASCAR community, within Joe Gibbs Racing, or anybody who ever encountered JJ D'Amato will miss him terribly. But we were all blessed to be graced with his presence and very lucky to have even known JJ D'Amato. You will be missed. So that is your morning buzzcast. Today is Monday. It is October 5th. I'm Abe Madcore. Hope everyone has a great start to their week, and I will talk to you tomorrow.